Welcome to our Saturday night simulcast after the Purdue Boilermakers 24-20 win over Iowa, opening day victory as Purdue gets it done in Ross State Stadium in front of a crowd of 900, but a lot of people watching at home, Brian Neubert watching at home as well. Tom Diener and I were seated next to each other in the press box. I'll start with you, Tom. Boy, hard to minimize the importance. You know, it wasn't pretty all the time, and yet Aiden O'Connell's getting quite a reputation of getting the job done and it's down the stretch. How'd you take that and your reaction to Purdue's opening day victory?
Yeah, Brian Brohm in the post game, Alan, talked about, you know, the hurdles, the adversity that Purdue had to overcome in this game, guys. We were all aware of it. That's why so many of us were really reticent to think Purdue had a great chance to win this game. I mean, where do you begin with the Jeff Brohm COVID diagnosis that made him absent from the game, Rondale Moore's absence from the game as well, the presence of a new defensive coordinator and a new defensive scheme, the unknown commodity at quarterback, who is it going to be, how would that person perform? And then we find out moments before the game, Marty Biagi, the special teams coach, wasn't going to be present either. You talk about adversity after adversity after adversity, and Purdue answered the bell, guys. That's always a great test of anybody in life, how you deal with adversity. Purdue had a boatload of it today, and they dealt with it. They won, Allen, and like you said, a huge victory to be 1-0, guys. Purdue hasn't won its opener since 2016, and now they have a chance, guys. Let's get ahead of ourselves, okay, because that's what we're doing in the media. Now they have a chance to maybe be 2-0, because they go to Illinois next week. So a great first win. Yes, there's work to be done, improvements to be made. But again, a lot of positives here, beginning with that quarterback, Alan, Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, and Brian, you know, attention to detail was there today too. I mean, for the most part, I mean, the difference in penalties between Iowa and Purdue, I think, was held down to just three. Yes, Purdue had three turnovers. And I don't want to minimize O'Connell had, in my view, the one to Payne Durham, that was kind of a bad bounce, and the one at the end of the half did cost Purdue in the red zone. But I thought Purdue did what it had to do in a game where, in COVID world, where I thought for the most part, I haven't looked at the film again, but they tackled well, they executed well, they didn't panic. Looked like they were very well coached, and we found that under Jeff Brohm, but Jeff Brohm wasn't there today.
Yeah, they looked like a good team. Now, the thing was that, you know, for the bulk of this game, it seemed like Purdue had kind of walked into the old Iowa spider web where you turn the ball over too many times and somehow one way or another Iowa ends up with two or three more points than their opponent. Yeah. This game, I mean, Purdue had every reason to lose this game, to be honest with you, with all they were dealing with coming into this. But also the way the game had unfolded up until that, you know, that fourth quarter where Purdue had every opportunity to pull away from Iowa. There were three throws. One, the big play to David Bell that Aiden O'Connell missed on. Two, the turnover in the red zone where he throws it off Payne Durham's back shoulder. That was a bad throw. I don't think, you know, it was just reasonable to say Payne Durham should have caught that. And then the turnover before the half where Purdue very easily could have had an opportunity there to kick a field goal. Instead, Iowa takes that turnover. They drive down the field. They kick a field goal. So that's at least a 6-point swing right there on top of the two touchdowns you could have had on the other two turnovers. That's the way Iowa always seems to back into victories, you know, in college football. And, you know, Purdue hadn't taken advantage of those opportunities up until that point. But Aiden O'Connell has shown himself, if he's nothing else, he's a gamer. And, you know, he saves his best for the fourth quarter for whatever reason. You know, good for him that he's that sort of player. But Purdue didn't necessarily do everything from start to finish here it needed to do to win. It really, really kind of rose to the challenge there in the last few minutes when it really needed to. And that's what's so impressive about this victory. All the stuff they had going against them, you know, in terms of before the game, but also during the game. And for the defense to force that turnover, clutch play number one, for the offense to walk down the field and score that really, really crunch time touchdown, clutch play number two, and then for the defense to close it out with the stop thereafter was just a really, really, I guess, potentially the sort of season-defining moment, so to speak. This can really be a win for Purdue, I think, that really gives them a lot of confidence moving forward and brings them together into something more than, you know, they technically should have been on paper today because they were missing so many pieces.
Yeah, I thought, Tom, that, they, you know, they, again, they look the part. Obviously, we're not down on the side. I'm just watching how they played. There was just – there were no snafus, at least to my mind. Maybe I missed one or two. I mean, really bad ones. It just – it seemed like they were ready to go. And I thought one other thing, too, Tom, that Brian Brohm said post-game that was impressive to me. And he said that Jeff, brother Jeff, left him alone for 24 hours.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give Jeff credit there too, because that's good. I think that's good business. That's smart, because there's nothing else you can do past this point. This guy's going to have to sink or swim. I'm sure there were other things. I thought, Tom, you did a good job asking the question about who was in the box, both on the defensive and in the offense, but you got to give Brian credit, but you got to also give Jeff credit for letting it go enough. And maybe that wasn't really all 100% reality. Certainly would have surprised me some, but he didn't have communication, and Brian Brohm dialed it up. Sounds like to me, I mean, David Bell's wide open at the end of that game. I know Aiden O'Connell did. So and all those factors made really for an interesting storyline in terms of maturity of this football team. And maybe also that Jeff Brohm let go of the reins at the right time to let this get done.
Yeah. It's hard when you're a leader, you're a guy who likes to have your hands on things to sure. Step aside like that, step away. So, again, let people do their jobs, Alan, right? That's why they're paid. And Jeff's got competent assistant coaches, and he knows he can trust them now, right? That they did a great job. And you know, to that point, Alan, in the second half, Ryan Brohm showed his adaptability at that point. He said Iowa was daring them to run the football. Brian Brohm, of course, took them up on that, and that's when we saw Xander Horvath, guys, really take command of that game and had some big-time runs, was the best running back on the field, I thought, at least statistically, for sure he was, compared to those three good backs Iowa has. So hats off to Xander Horvath, guys. Remember, he finished last year against Indiana running for a bunch of yards. First game this year, he comes out with another 100-yard effort. Of course, he has that opportunity today because King DeRue was out with a hamstring injury. So yet another piece of adversity Purdue had to overcome. Again, hats off to Xander. Hats off to the offensive line too, right? They played a lot of guys up front. Cam Craig got hurt in the second half. He had to come out. At one point, they had Gus Hartwood giving him some reps, the true freshman at center. They were rotating the right side of the line every two series, I noticed as well. And they had DJ Washington out there at one point at a guard spot, and I thought he did well. And, kudos to Dale Williams and company, and played a lot of linemen. And overall, I thought that line protected Aiden O'Connell and did just enough for that ground game to get traction too. You add it all up, guys, and the offense had some peaks and valleys, but by and large, they hung in there and delivered when they had to.
And Brian, you've been watching David Bell since he was in high school. he's really good. I mean, he made plays today. It's two games in a row with 13 catches against Iowa. That's impressive. Now he had more yards last year, 197. I think only a buck 21, but he got in the end zone three times. He just makes a huge difference. And you have to think and we'll hit on this subject too with Rondale Moore, but you have to think that's going to be really interesting football. If you can run the football a little bit and you got two guys, and then I'm rambling here a little bit, but Milton Wright too, also extremely impressive, caught the football. But Brian, I'm going to first ask you about David Bell, just that difference he makes and maybe also what you were seeing on TV from that standpoint.
Yeah, David Bell gets 13 for 121 and a touch and three touchdowns. He should have had 14 for 204 touchdowns because Iowa was scheming to keep Purdue from beating them deep. And, you know, David Bell still beat them deep. It just they weren't able to connect on the pass. But David Bell was unbelievable. And I remember the first time I saw him play live in high school, I came back and I wrote for him. I was like, this kid's a star. I didn't know he was coming to Purdue at the time. I thought he might, but this kid's a star. He just has it. He has something that, you know, you just kind of look at him and he doesn't look like, you know, Terrell Owens, or he doesn't look like Calvin Johnson, or he doesn't look like, you know, this guy who just necessarily jumps off the page at you, but he's just so freaking good. You know, he catches everything that comes his way damn near. He has a funny way of getting open. He's just savvy. He just knows how to play receiver. And he's been coached very well, but he's got something that you don't coach. He's just got that quality about him where it doesn't matter what you do, he's still going to find a way to get the football. And, you know, some of the catches he made last year, the ball skills, the tracking the ball in the air, they're just unbelievable. He's just, you know, we talk about, you know, how much hurt Purdue to not have Rondell Moore today. Well, if they had Rondell Moore today, they might have been pumping the ball to Rondell Moore a few more times, and perhaps David Bell doesn't go crazy. So, you know, I didn't see anything out there from Purdue today where you said they're really missing this or that. They really need this or that. And, you know, when you don't have your coach, you don't have your special teams coach, and you don't have your star player, and you don't notice really anything that jumps off the page in terms of Purdue lacking something, that's a credit to everybody who, you know, who was out there. And David Bell was certainly a big part of that because he was unbelievable today. He was unbelievable last season. And as long as he's healthy, he's going to be unbelievable the rest of the way.
Yeah. Tommy, obviously on Sunday, we'll time watching the game again. Your impressions of Bob Diaco's defense? I mean, again, you look back at the numbers and Iowa only scores 3 points in the second half. There haven't been all that many Big Ten games in the last 15 years, especially against a team that won 10 games a year before you hold the 3 points. I mean, I understand Iowa's not an offensive juggernaut, but that's impressive in its own way. I know Purdue gave up yardage, but when it counted, it didn't. And I think that's an interesting part. I think you have to give that defense a passing grade, certainly in week one.
Yeah, 460 yards of offense for Iowa.
Yeah.
195 on the ground. But they had their points, again, peaks and valleys for the defense as well. The second quarter, they really struggled. Boy, you really saw Iowa taking it to Purdue.
17 points, yeah.
It was all – they were running the football right down Purdue's throats. Couldn't stop them. A lot of bending, not a whole lot of breaking, though. And you know what, guys, in the second half, that defense really picked up the pace and kept Purdue in the ballgame when the offense – time and again, the defense got the offense the ball, and the offense did nothing with it. And finally, the offense did get that traction late. And we know the final result there. But, again – hats off to Diaco. They were playing a lot of guys, fellas. I mean, there seemed like there were two or three guys running along off the field almost on every down. I'm really interested to see the snap counts and to see all the personnel that play defensively when we get a chance to look at the Pro Football Focus statistics. But, back to front guys. Jalen Alexander had a big game. Karloftis had a sack going against Coy Cronk. We talked earlier about off camera about some of the forced fumbles. Alexander had one. Dedrick Mackey had the big key one late that was recovered by Cam Allen. Probably the play of the game. Honestly, guys, without that play, Iowa was driving. They were up 20-17. Chance to kick a field goal to make a 23-17 or score a touchdown and probably put the game away. They forced that fumble, get the ball back to their offense, and they finished the deal, of course. As we know, David Bell, 6-yard touchdown catch from Aiden O'Connell. So, yeah, you know, we all know there's going to be growing pains, but still, I thought for a first effort, Diaco's defense played pretty well now. And that was I think that's a good Iowa offense. I know Spencer Petras was making his first career start. That's a great line, great receivers, great running backs, good tight end. And again, they bled some yards, but when it came down to it, they didn't give up a lot of points, and they got some key stops. They got turnovers too, guys. And also, look at the big plays. How many times we hear about how they didn't want to give up big plays? Well, Iowa's longest run was 21 yards. Their longest pass was 40. I'd say Purdue did a pretty good job limiting big plays too.
I just want to say something real quick about the defense. Purdue did give up some chunk plays, but they didn't give up the 80-yard touchdowns. They didn't give up the 75-yard touchdowns, whatever it may be. When they gave up big plays, it was because Iowa did the right thing. That first play, that little swing pass over the top of the blitz or whatever it was, that was just Iowa hitting it right on the screws. That wasn't – Purdue wasn't giving up big plays because they were blowing assignments or missing tackles. And that's a pretty good indication of a defense that's well-prepared, that's been well-coached. And that's impressive considering, you know, they're breaking in this whole new system where they're being asked to do a lot of new things. They didn't have a comprehensive offseason like you normally would. They missed some spring practice time. They've had to cram a lot of stuff into, sporadic practice time. also the way they attacked the ball. You know, two of those forced fumbles were guys going for the ball. And that's an indication of a team that's playing hard, that's not giving up on plays, mm-hmm. that's really, really fighting like hell. And that's you know, speaks to the sort of mentality, you know, you really want your defense to have. It's just a really impressive performance by Purdue. They did give up a lot of stuff in the running game, yeah. But that wasn't them missing tackles. That wasn't them being out of position. That was just Iowa executing better than Purdue did. And I just think everything you wanted to see from Purdue's defense, you pretty much saw today.
George Karloftis too, Brian, had a number. He had the one sack, right, officially, but number of hurries in there as well.
And first possession, he had one.
Yeah, and I thought he really impacted things. Which we saw last year, but I thought he stepped it up a notch again against one of the better tackles in the league in Quay Kronk. And that part also was impressive. So what else in terms of guys, and I'll go back to you, Tom, on unsung people. Anybody else that, I mean, Milton Wright was one for me because he didn't get, he caught the football. And last year we saw as a freshman where he occasionally had the drops, but he was really solid and took a huge hit. One of the more nasty hits I've seen in Ross Aid in a while. So any other guys that stood out to you? And I'll start with you, Tom, and then go to Brian in terms of folks that aren't household names or big stat grabbers that made a big difference today in your view.
You know, I talked about, you know, Jalen Alexander forcing that fumble.
Yeah.
He led the team with 10 tackles today, 6 solo tackles, 4 assists. Sort of a workman-like blue-collar guy playing alongside Derek Barnes at linebacker. So you had to be pleased with his effort overall. And, you know, Payne Durham was a guy, fellas, myself included, thought, boy, he could have a huge game while the defense focuses on David Bell and some of these other weapons. But Payne ended up having a pretty nice game. Still, he made 4 catches and for 41 yards. And I think he's still going to have a big year and as the season progresses. But can't underscore, I think, the value that he's going to continue to bring to this offense, especially, like I said, moving forward when they get into the red zone, guys. He's a player certainly to watch, and I'm really eager to see. And one last guy real quick, special teams, Brooks Cormier. Jeff said he wanted more consistency from his punter this year, and I thought Brooks punted pretty well. And a nice start to his sophomore year. And how about J.D. Dellinger, 2 kicked the 1 field goal he had, nailed it. And I think J.D. has a chance to be one of the Big Ten's better kickers this year.
Brian, anybody else? Who else stood out with you?
DeMarcus Mitchell.
Yeah, I thought so
too. I don't know if he didn't necessarily put up big numbers, but it seemed like he was all over the place. 5 tackles, couple tackles for a loss, I think. He's one of the guys that Purdue's asking to do a lot of different things. You know, he plays defensive end at times. He plays linebacker at times. It just mm-hmm. seemed like he's a physical force. He's a guy who was really disruptive, a guy who didn't give up on plays, a guy who just looked like he's ready to help them. And I've said ever since signing day that Purdue needed these older guys coming into this defense to be good right away. And he's the one. He's the big one because Purdue doesn't have a lot of linebackers. And they recruited him to be what he was today. And he was what they needed him to be. He was really good. Really, really a shot in the arm for that defense. I thought the offensive line in general, the pass protection was mm-hmm. I know O'Connell was under some pressure, but one of those sacks was Xander Horvath in a perfect pass protection pickup, just getting trucked by a guy. And if any other running back was out there, if they can truck Xander Horvath, they can truck anybody. But the pass protection was pretty good. And yeah. I thought they were good when Gus Hartwig was playing center. And to say that, you know, a true freshman center sparked Purdue seems to be counterintuitive to everything we know about college football at this level. But Gus Hartwig seemed like he more than held his own at center. The big play Horvath made, I'd have to go back and watch it to make sure because it was low resolution on my monitor. So I'm pretty sure it said 66, but I think it was Cam Craig who got out in space, pulling from left guard to get out and make a perfect block out in the open field to seal off the sideline for Horvath to get down there and then jump over that dude and finish off that 33-yard run or whatever it was.
33, yeah.
That's 2 young offensive linemen right there who, you know, stood out when young offensive linemen very rarely stand out. But the offensive line seemed like it did a pretty good job playing a ton of guys. A lot of coaches say we want to find our five guys and roll with them to build up as much continuity and chemistry as possible. But there were guys out there. Kyle Jornigan starts the game, plays a ton. Gus Hartwig plays in his first ever college game. Obviously Cam Craig played one game last year. He's out there basically as a freshman. Just lots of new guys, not lots of new guys out there playing. They seem to do a pretty good job. So I think they certainly merit mention too.
Yeah, Greg Long.
Yeah, that's where you –
Greg Brown, too. I forgot about him.
Greg Long, right tackle.
Greg Long.
So Rube Bramel played
Greg Brown's a secondary coach. He wouldn't play offensive tackle. Yeah, I don't know if he'd hold up.
They like you said, Brian, they played a lot of linemen, and they said in camp they thought they had, I think, 10 or 12 guys they would have felt comfortable playing. And,
yeah,
they held to that today. It's, boy, you got to feel good as a coach, right, don't you? When you can feel comfortable playing that many offensive linemen, that's great.
And this wasn't Kent State they were playing. This was Iowa, who's one of the gold standards in the Big Ten for line of scrimmage play. So,
an impressive performance
all around at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, I think.
Yeah, it's funny because, of course, you don't get a chance to open up many games against a conference foe. Now, Purdue's had a couple, obviously Northwestern a couple of years ago. Would you go back in the last 30 years, and I don't want to put too much hype into this, but bigger opening day wins of import. You got to go back to at home in 1992, California. I mean, it sounds crazy to say that. I understand that, Syracuse in 2004, but of games that may mean some consequence. And I guess that's the last thing I want to hit on here is just that opportunity this brings, because if you lose this game in the last minute, we've seen Purdue teams many a time have it be right in that same position of scoring late with 2 minutes and 15 seconds to go, and then the team goes down the field and beats them. So with some good defenses over the years. My point is just the fact that you win a game when you don't play perfectly, you give up 460 yards, it does – and you're coming off a 4-8 season. I'm not running Purdue to the Big Ten championship game. I'm not saying that. But I am saying, boy, it changes the whole tenor of where this – just by winning this game, it changes everything.
Look at the schedule. They have a really manageable schedule. When you looked at it when it came out, your eyes kind of lit up. But then you looked at a couple games where, obviously Wisconsin's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to win at Wisconsin. But there were a couple of games on the schedule where you kind of look at them like toss-ups. And I thought Iowa was one of those toss-ups. I thought like Iowa would be the difference potentially between, 5-3, 6-2, if not even better than 6-2. And to get this one right off the bat, to get it how they got it under all these circumstances, to have to rally in the fourth quarter, again, moving into the schedule you're moving into right now, this feels like a win that can really kind of springboard them forward.
Again, the confidence, guys, but, at Illinois next and at Wisconsin. Rutgers looks like they're going to be better than maybe people thought, right? Nice win for them today. Indiana takes down Penn State, so – still a lot of great opportunity. And like you said, Alan, if you want to know, that Cal game was big in 92. That was a ranked Cal team.
Yeah.
Purdue ran out of the stadium that day. And you're right. Just to have that relief and that confidence that goes with a win to begin your year against a foe like Iowa can't be understated.
Well, one thing, and again, we're recording this not having all the votes tabulated just yet. And again, we're allowed, as Tommy, you said, we're allowed to do this in media. Maryland, Northwestern just kicks the crap out of Maryland. Michigan beating Minnesota and drilling them in the fourth quarter by four touchdowns. Indiana wins. And Brian, you've said this all along too. This is still could be the great even out year. You don't know exactly what you get. Even Ohio State, I know Ohio State won big, ended up winning big, but they struggled a little bit out of the gate and route to a 52-17 win. But my point is, there is opportunity ahead, and you really don't know. And on conversely, you better be careful next week too, because I know Illinois gets beat 45-7. It doesn't look very good. But you better be dialed in.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of upsets in college football right out of the gate. Penn State, obviously being one of them in the Big Ten alone. I think Michigan State's probably better than they showed today. I think you've seen some teams, not come out of the chute very strong. And I didn't see anything from Purdue today where I said, that's a product of the offseason. as I said before, like I didn't see anything where it was like, if only they had Jeff Brohm coaching, or if only they had Rondell Moore, this would be entirely different. I didn't see any of that stuff. I don't know if Iowa maybe got called for so many penalties because their offseason was a little bit disjointed. I think the offseason is probably a moot point in terms of, because you had a full camp here. I think the offseason might have affected physical things more, but I didn't see anything from either of these teams that suggested that the offseason led to any sort of slow start by any means. I mean, I think Iowa was good enough to win this game. Obviously, they were. If they just don't turn the ball over late like they did, they probably would have won this game. But you just have to give Purdue a ton of credit because they had so many headwinds against them here in terms of things they had to overcome both before the game and during the game. For them to get it done just really speaks volumes about, the substance this team showed today.
All right, Tom, I'm going to give you a minute to gather your thoughts because I'm going to ask you about so what's next and your parting thoughts on this game. But I want to thank our sponsor, of course, the Purdue Union Club Hotel, who hosted a game watch party. We know Mike Berghoff was there, and they had an event today. And also a reminder, too, you can subscribe to Golden Black, illustrating goldenblack.com, I should say. And please think about doing that. We've been running a special that ended on Saturday night, but we do a 40-day free trial. We have been very fortunate. Brian, you wrote a great thank you note to our subscribers. We've been extremely fortunate to have a very loyal base of subscribers over the years. And we always say it's the best conversation, best coverage on Purdue sports, and we appreciate our subscribers. But Tom, let's give me. I'll give you both a shot at this, but your takeaway and what you look ahead for next week.
Yeah, again, talked a little bit about my takeaway throughout this broadcast. Again, the ability to deal with adversity, to overcome adversity, and they always say you're not defined by what happens to you in life; you're defined by how you react to what happens to you. And Purdue really answered the bell on that front today, guys. A lot of positive individual performances for Purdue. Aiden O'Connell, again, 31 for 50, three touchdowns. You kind of want to bottle this effort in moving forward. But for Purdue, I guess I want to see a little bit more from the run game. They only had a little over 100 yards rushing as a team today, but they were quality yards. They were yards when they – and they needed them late in the game. They delivered those rushing yards. So, again, a little bit more for the run game. Maybe a little bit more pressure on the quarterback, a few more actual sacks. Yeah. I know there was pressure. Only, one sack officially. But, again, there's definitely a lot more positives than negatives. I'm sure the coach is going to have a lot of negatives to keep all those players motivated. You don't want guys to get too high. You guys have watched college football a long time. I have. I tell you what, from week to week, you'll see a team 1 week ago, that team is never going to win a game again. You see, that team, no one's going to beat that team. The very next week, the team you didn't think was going to win wins, and vice versa, that team that looked unbeaten falls to some has-been. So you want to keep everybody on an even keel because these are young guys, and emotion's a big part of this football game.
Yeah, Brian, Illinois loses 45-7. It really got hammered last night for – at least I did not watch the entire game, but watched about three quarters of it. But, you don't want to look past that next week. But, again, it's all out there for Purdue at this point.
Yeah, I watched the game. I thought their defense did some positive things early, even though Graham Mertz pitched damn near a perfect game.
Yes, he did.
But their offense is so limited. Illinois is – I don't think they're very good. But Purdue, it's about Purdue. Purdue's got to be consistent. I mean, we've seen inconsistency – from Purdue over the years. We saw them destroy Ohio State a few years ago and then get destroyed at Minnesota. And, obviously every season's different, every team is different, but it's early enough in the season to know there is still enough balls in the air here where everybody's got to show they're consistent. Next week of practice is going to be very different from this past week of practice for Purdue. I don't know what some of the losses might have done in terms of if that helped Purdue in any small way, but Purdue just has to show consistency. They have to build on the successes from week one to the next. I mean, that's what every coach wants is improvement from 1 week to the next. And you got through what should have been a pretty difficult one today, and you have one next week that would seem very winnable before you go to a really difficult one the week after. You just want to get better and better every week, and that's the challenge now for Purdue.
All right, well, we'll see what happens, and it will be interesting week coming off that opening day win, the Boilermakers over Iowa in Ross-Ade Stadium. All right, guys, thanks so much, and I know it's been a long day, and we appreciate that. We also appreciate our sponsor, the Purdue Union Club Hotel, and don't forget to also to think about subscribing to goldenblack.com. We appreciate all of our listeners, viewers, subscribers, anybody that pays attention to us. We like you. So thanks so much, and have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll look forward to a lot of coverage on goldenblack.com as Purdue opens up its preparation for Purdue and Illinois next Saturday at noon at Memorial Stadium in Champaign, Illinois. Have a great week, everybody.